Our first session of NVC in the Workplace, Transforming Organizations with Nonviolent Communication with Dean Killian.
I want to start by thanking NVC Academy for organizing this program and allowing me to lead it. And I want to thank everyone who is joining us on the call now or who will be listening in later. I'm really excited and grateful because I so want to see more trainers out in the world. I want us to hit the 100th monkey. And I really passionately believe that if we're going to change the world with nonviolent communication, that there is, for me, an urgency around bringing these life-changing skills into companies and organizations. I think this will be resonant, I'm guessing, with many people on the call, that at least for the last 20, 30, maybe 40 years, corporate culture has impacted so many other social structures in the United States, for sure, and I believe the world. So once we can start bringing these skills, which is happening now, and bring that to a greater momentum, I am really confident that we will start to see far more of the changes we're wanting to see, both in organizations and for us individually and our families. Because, of course, when people learn NVC at work, they bring it in everywhere else in their life. So thank you. Thank you for being on this call. And I'm hoping to empower a whole other wave of people bringing NVC into organizations. Before we go any further, I really do believe in the power of our imaginations, which is very consistent with nonviolent communication, of course. So I want to invite everyone to take a moment and really imagine. Visualize this. Think of a workplace that you've been involved in. I'm pretty convinced that anyone who's an adult has had some experience in a workplace or organization in their lifetime. So think of one that you're familiar with and think about workplaces around the world and imagine these workplaces as ones where people working there are fully engaged. They're alive, on fire with the work that they're doing. Imagine that they're working collaboratively with creativity, effectiveness, mutual care, respect, and they're doing their work with joy. I want to remind everyone that the word enjoy has at its root joy. So yes, I'm a big fan of seeing how can we enjoy our work. I would say most of us spend 40 hours a week at work. Many people in the New York City area spend 50, 60, or 70 hours a week working. So I want to see more joy in our lives. I want to see more joy in our workplaces. Just take a moment. I'm actually going to give us a pause and imagine what that would look like. How do these workplaces function? And how would this make the world a different place? Just take a moment and imagine that. I notice what's going on in my body imagining this and imagining the impact on healthcare and education and law and policing for every aspect of our society when we can start bringing these life-changing skills into the workplace, how it will impact us, our families, and the planet. I just love to hear some shout-outs from some other people on the call now. How are you feeling? What's going on in your body when you visualize and imagine workplaces of this kind? Just curious. Life balance. I love that. Ease. Wholeness. Hope. Oh yeah, I love hope. Fun and connection. Peaceful, less tension. Yeah, thank you for that. I noticed I got very happy. My whole chest area opened up. Rounded. Yeah, and I love how many people are mentioning grounded and balance. Imagine, too, the different choices that we would make in our workplaces if we were grounded and balanced. My stomach wouldn't hurt at work anymore. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your responses. And there's more coming in. Forward moving progress. This gives me confidence that many of you really took up my invitation to visualize this. Because one thing I have learned from nonviolent communication, and now neurological science is confirming this, that when we imagine something, we have a somatic response. You know, this whole piece we practice in NVC about imagining the beauty of the need is met, or as I say, the energy of the need is met, is all about that NVC magic. So by visualizing these workplaces and hearing people's responses, I know that we're taking this in energetically. So what I'm also curious about, actually, I was going to ask about what needs would be met. And I can imagine everyone has an idea of this already. And just for fun and engagement, just see what needs come up for you that you want to share on the chat as well. What needs would be met by having workplaces of this kind? Peace, wholeness, sustainability, effectiveness, okay, diversity, variety, autonomy, cooperation, aliveness, confidence, inclusion. Yay. Thank you. I'm loving all these needs. And some of them that come at the top of my list is effectiveness. And yes, also efficiency. If you haven't had a chance to see this yet, at workcollaboratively.com, there's a report based on a study that was done at Merck a few years ago, Merck Pharmaceuticals, where we did a series of trainings, and they were so impressed with the first round of trainings. I say we because I was hired as the lead trainer, and then I invited other trainers over the 3 years to work with me on this project. We had a team of coaches and trainers. One of the items that was kind of off the charts when they did this study was efficiency and effectiveness. So what people said, proverbially, by the way, is that it seems like it takes longer, and in the long run, it's much more efficient to use NVC, basically because issues that would become mountains from molehills never turn into mountains. They're resolved early on. There's trust. There's flow of communication. So how many people I hear who want life-work balance? It's also a common statistic now that we're doing two or three times the work that one person did in the 1950s when people had the proverbial two cocktail lunch at work or could take that kind of time off from work. So if we have efficiency and effectiveness, we're going to have, I hope, greater opportunity for life-work balance. So a lot of needs that we met. Thank you, everyone, for sharing. So this is what is driving and motivating me in wanting to share what I've learned and to support other people in bringing NVC into organizations. We need nonviolent communication to survive and thrive. There's no question in my mind about this. I've studied many different modalities in my life, and nonviolent communication continues to be one of the most powerful, awe-inspiring practices that I can practice with myself and other people. And bringing NVC into organizations is a really powerful way to share NVC. I had some of this in the preamble to the course, the description. I just want to highlight it again before we jump in further. First of all, through sharing NVC in organizations, we have a pre-created community of learners. I find people learn nonviolent communication much faster when they have other people to practice with, when other people know what you're doing, they know your intentions, they're familiar a little bit with the language. So in a workplace, we have pre-created communities. I usually go and work with a team of 20 to 30 people at a time. So there's that group of 30 people that are learning NVC together. That's powerful in itself. There's also a lot of intrinsic and extrinsic motivation to learn NVC. The extrinsic motivation, of course, is that their employee, their manager has asked them to go to this training. By the way, we're going to talk more about this later in the program. I really like to avoid that being the only motivation for people learning NVC. So in designing programs, I really dog for there being a launch call as part of the project. So we'll talk more about design later in the course. So through things like a launch call and pre-calls with staff, we can develop some intrinsic motivation, give the staff a taste of what they're going to be learning, get them excited in advance. So we'll be talking about different ways to do that, depending on the budget of the organization. But there's definitely some extrinsic motivation there, and I do my best to create some intrinsic motivation for people in that program. As I mentioned earlier, we spend a significant amount of time at work each week. So, you know, ideally, people are having 40 hours a week, at least, to practice nonviolent communication in their community of learners. What I look for, again, we'll be talking about this more in the design element of this course. I definitely look for a design where there's going to be some kind of immersion training and then continuity, ideally over at least 6 months, especially when clients are looking for culture change, when they really want to change how they're operating as an organization. You don't get that in 2 days of training. I just want to add, by the way, you don't get anything in 2 days. So what I mean by that is if you want to learn tennis, you do not learn to play tennis in 2 days. I don't know anyone who's learned a second language in 2 days. I'm also a musician. No one learns a new instrument in 2 days. So I often remind this or point this out to my potential clients. They're looking for something that's culture change, that's game changing. I can pretty much guarantee, and I'm very confident about that at this point, I can guarantee that I can create a culture change for them if they give me certain elements. One of those elements is continuity, ongoing practice. So when people are in their learning communities at work, they have an opportunity for continuity and significant time for practice, ideally because their manager has structured that in the project and the training program. So that's the other reason I'm excited about bringing NVC into organizations. And then I'm going to really encourage you through this program to design programs in the workplace that involve learning by doing. By the way, again, we'll talk more about this later in the course. And this is very, very important in today's workplace because of speed ups, because people are doing what, you know, 50 years ago would be the jobs of two or three people. When I talk to potential clients and I talk about the amount of time, resources that I'm asking them to invest in this change project of learning nonviolent communication, one thing I like to share with them is this is going to be work sessions. They will resolve actual issues real time. They're going to move things forward in the workplace. It's not just taking 2 days away from their desks, which can contribute to a fair bit of anxiety for the staff as well. They're going to be learning by doing. So that's important as well in terms of integration. Now, the last point that I love about bringing NVC into organizations is their employer pays for it. So another aspect of why I'm passionate around this is a win-win for everybody. Learning communities, people in a workplace 40 hours a week, continuity in learning nonviolent communication, their employer pays for the training. And, you know, I've worked with organizations of all sizes and budgets, from nonprofits of three people to NGOs the size of the UN Development Program to Fortune 100 companies like Merck. So different budgets, different scope. And I would say, while I really love the public programming that I do, it's the programming that I've done for organizations that pays my bills living here in New York City, which, as I think everyone knows, a pretty high cost of living. I'm mentioning this because the other reason I'm passionate about bringing NVC into organizations is I want sustainability for us as trainers. I have mentored and coached so many people or people in my workshops that come up and say, Dean, you've been a full-time trainer for 15 years. How do you do it? How do you make a living doing NVC and living in a place like New York City where the cost of living is so high? I'd love to offer a whole other course on that, by the way, for NVC Academy. I'm going to talk to Mary about that, to NVC Academy. But regardless, for this course, a key element in your sustainability as a trainer, based on my experience and other trainers that I know and respect and that are friends of mine, for example, like Jeff Brown, like Mickey Koshton, it's not the only way to do it. And for many trainers that I know and for myself, a key element has been working in organizations. So I'm wanting to build how many of us can do this work, both for spreading NVC and for spreading how many people can share NVC full time. I don't have any self-consciousness around saying I want my sustainability and I want sustainability for other trainers, because the more trainers that are sustainable in sharing nonviolent communication, the more of us are out there doing it full time. I think we need, it's a strategy, but in my opinion, we need as many people out in the world sharing nonviolent communication right now as we can have. So our sustainability is key to that. So I really am going to encourage everyone to embrace that. I hope this course will contribute to a shift in how we think about money in circles around nonviolent communication. There's many, many strategies around money. And it's basically a strategy for people to get their needs met. So let's see that we can create the sustainability that's going to benefit everybody so that we can get these life-changing skills out in the world more. So I'm hoping this has inspired at least some of you. And because I really value connection in my teaching and participation, I'd like to hear from one or two people. You can raise your hand. I'm just asking for one or two because I'm excited about diving into the more interactive parts of today's class. And I'd like to hear from one or two people what's alive for you, having heard what I just shared around sustainability, around bringing NVC into organizations.
Well, I'm really energized by what you're saying, and I think it's important that we look at NVC not as a quick fix. It's not something that I go in and you do a two-day training and we'll be able to shift culture. So the things that came up while you were speaking was support, practice, and feedback. I mean, that's the only way we can do it, and you're addressing all of those, so I'm enjoying that.
Thank you. And by the way, I just want to mention, your sharing this inspired me to share this story at this moment. When I first got contacted by Merck, by the way, the champion at Merck for nonviolent communication had attended a training that his wife organized at a Unitarian church. So I just want to mention, you never know how you're going to make these contacts. After the training, he came up to me and said, "Do you bring this into companies?" Said, "Of course, it's one of my passions." And he said, "Great, because I work at Merck Pharmaceuticals. Would you be willing to come in and do a training there for us?" I said, "Sure, let's talk." When I spoke to him, and again, one element we'll include in this course is how to navigate those conversations with potential clients. It was very clear to me that he wanted the culture change for his team. And he said to me, "So Dean, will you come in and do a day of training?" And actually I said, "You know something? I'm actually not willing to do that. Because you're asking me to change the culture in your organization. I want to deliver on that. I know I can. We're not going to get it in a day." I later heard him talking to other people and say that in his 30 years in corporate experience, he had never, not once, heard a trainer or consultant say no to him. That made such an impression on him. And I want everyone to know that led to my first 6-month contract with Merck. And each of those contracts were between $60,000 and $150,000 over 3 years, multiple contracts. So let's be honest. Let's use our NVC skills. And if people are asking for culture change, let's be honest with them what's going to actually meet their need.
Other quick point I want to make is you're absolutely right. You don't know where the connections are going to come, but how not to overpromise and underdeliver.
Yes. Yeah. And we'll be talking about this again during the course around hopefully setting things up with your clients so that they're repeat clients. And that's not just about our sustainability. Again, you know, I work with organizations regularly that want to develop capacity within the organization for trainers. I love that vision. I'm all behind it. And again, they think they're going to get that in 20 or 40 hours of training. You know, when I went through certification, it was 1,000 hours of training. I'm not saying they need that much, but it's important to manage people's expectations, celebrate their goals. I share those goals and I want them to be successful because out of integrity and satisfaction for me as a trainer. Thank you. So glad you're part of the course.
I've been looking for something like this for a long time, and I've been collecting contacts. I have a zillion contacts, and I've been telling people about bringing communication, and they're really excited, but I haven't had a way to do that, like a curriculum, a focus. So I'm really excited to hear that the potential exists out there.
Great. And I am going to be sharing, as promised, pretty, you know, I was kind of like thinking, whoa, I'm sharing all this stuff, but I do want to share it. I'm going to be sharing actual sample design plans that I've used with different size organizations and clients. They will be posted during the course. So, and we will be talking about design. Thank you. It's glad you're here. I want to really move into us, start practicing. I have one more piece. So I want to just really get clear about our intentions, which I think we've already been doing, but I'm going to give everybody just 2 minutes each in a pair. Here's what I'd like you to connect with. If you have a pen, please jot this down. So here's the questions I'd like you to consider. What's motivating you personally to bring NVC into organizations? One thing that's really most motivating for you. What's motivating for you to bring NVC into organizations? That's the first question. Second question, what sector of society or kind of organization are you most passionate about? Is it healthcare? Is it education? Is it the corporate sector? Is it NGOs or some other sector? Third question, and this is one I really am going to want to hear about, but I want to hear about all of them if people want to share. What is one thing you'd really love to take from this 6-week course? At the end of the 6 weeks, you're like, wow, I'm so glad I signed up for that program. What would be the one thing that, as I say, would give you some happiness in your step? So we're going to address those questions. I want us all to be together again in 4 minutes. Okay. So I was sitting in one group and really enjoyed what I was hearing people share in that group about their vision and the sector they want to work in, what they want to take from the course. And I'd love to hear from two or three of the people. Again, I'm going to ask for a headline just out of a connection and efficiency. So raise your hand if you'd like to share. I'd especially like to hear a headline on what you would love to take from the course. And if you also wanted to share about a sector you're passionate about, I'm happy to hear that too.
Hi, I'm really interested in the business and corporate sector. I have my pre-NVC background is there, so I have some comfort and excitement about working there. It's really gratifying to hear some of your reasons for wanting to do work in organizations, DN, because they're similar to mine, and I have felt sort of alone with those thoughts for a long time, so it's nice to have a sense of community. And I guess I'm really wanting, I've done some work in organizations, but small ones, and wanting to feel like I have a sense of curriculum design and entry point for doing bigger gigs.
Great. Let's hear from one other person.
Mine is quite a bit different. I work with a nonprofit organization. We're a agricultural membership organization, a nonprofit, and we're in the midst of changing kind of the way we work together, and nonviolent communication can really play into that very well. The thing that I would like to take from the course is really bringing these tools and bringing NVC into the workplace.
Great. Thank you for sharing and being part of the course. What I'm hearing here is that you're not working full-time as a trainer. You're working in-house in a nonprofit, and you're wanting to have more confidence and skills to bring NVC into your organization, which I'm guessing might involve some, quote, selling. What I mean by selling is I used to be a union organizer when I first got very excited about NVC, and I spoke to my union president about it, and she was like, we don't want to learn this because we have no question that who the enemy is, and the enemy is the companies. So I was like, oh, that's interesting. But the point is we need to be able to sell NVC even if we already work there. What I mean by sell is present it in a way that makes sense and is engaging and is responsive to people. Okay, great. Just let everyone know, for those people who already work in-house in an organization, I think you will find value in the course because we will be covering some things like how to talk about NVC, how to design an NVC program for an organization, design elements. And we are also going to be including some aspects like pricing, for example, that will specifically speak to people who are consultants or trainers. So I think you will get value of the course, and I'm hoping for your understanding that this particular course I had in mind, particularly people who want or are currently full-time trainers or consultants. So I think we'll find a way to address everyone's needs, but just wanted to let everybody know that. Okay. Is there anyone who is burning to share something at this point around what brought you here to this course?
Yeah, I'm a life coach, and I have a lot of clients in the corporate world, and I spend a lot of time with them, and they give me emergency calls. How do I say this? Because we work with them at NVC, and that gave me the idea to try to develop a course for the wider culture to do it.
Great. I love that. And as a coach, I'm sure you know, many coaches are asked to do training. It's a great crossover. I'm going to encourage people, if they want to bring NVC into organizations, to also offer coaching as part of the package. So glad you're on the call. Thank you. Excited about everyone on the call. There's so many companies and organizations in the world. I don't think it's possible to have, quote, too many. I'm not sure that would mean too many people sharing NVC in organizations. So I'm really excited about that. So I want people to know I'm clearly bringing my experience to this course, 15 years doing this full time. Plus, I'm also planning some special guest speakers. I'm going to leave that in suspense right now, just have a little bit of excitement. But I already have some people lined up who are going to talk about different things that they have an expertise in. And I also want to name that obviously there are many people on the call, probably all of us, who also have experience. People who are already working full-time as trainers, stepping into working full-time as trainers, people who aren't trainers but work in organizations. So I'm hoping through making this program very interactive that we'll get to draw on everyone's experience. I have a lot to share, and I know that, you know, we can learn much more through sharing collectively. So I really look forward to that. And some mutual empowerment. So today, we've already worked on setting our intentions, which is very important to me for any program, including a corporate program, by the way. So we'll, again, get into that more when we talk about design. And then what I want to focus now for the rest of today's class is workplace challenges, or what's often called in the training world, pain points. What are some common pain points for organizations and companies? And then what are some NVC solutions? How can we have some bring return on investment for our trainings? So we're going to talk more about that and what return on investment means. And then we're going to start talking about languaging, how to talk about NVC in the workplace. in classes 2 through 6, I'm not going to go over all the agenda right now, just out of wanting efficiency and move on to other things, but we're going to be covering how to go about a sales meeting, designing a training, teaching training, marketing, and retention of clients. Between each class, there will be documents posted. I'm also going to give you what I call invitations or a challenge after each class, at the end of the class. An invitation or a challenge is something that I'm going to ask you to work on between today's class and the following week's class. It's an invitation, free of demand, and I really do encourage you to make the course interactive and to maximize your learning, to make it a priority to do those invitations, do those challenges. And in that spirit, I encourage you to find a buddy for the class. This can be an empathy buddy and a practice buddy. Because each week I'll be inviting you to do a challenge, I think there's can be a lot more fun and learning and collaboration doing that with a buddy. My invitation and challenge is that by Friday of this week that you choose someone to be your partner for the course so you can start working on the invitations for next week's class and have some time to do that. Okay, so I want to start thinking about, this is so core to bringing NBC into organizations. What kinds of challenges or pain points are happening in an organization? And by the way, an organization is simply a group of people. Anytime you have a group of people coming together, there's going to be some challenges. I really try to take any blame or shame out around that because there's opportunities when there's a challenge. But, you know, it's just the nature of being human beings. We bump into each other and we can use those bumps for opportunities for learning and deeper connection. So every organization, every group of people that I've ever been part of, at some point there's a challenge. There's some kind of pain point. So what kinds of challenges and pain points are you seeing in organizations that you're familiar with right now? If you're already an NVC trainer, you can think about, or a trainer of some kind or a coach, what are you hearing about from your clients? Or if, forget who shared, but someone is working already in a nonprofit organization. I know when I worked for the union, for the UAW, I had a reason for talking to my union president because I really saw that NVC could contribute to how we do our work. So there were some challenges that I saw in my organization. So what kind of challenges are you seeing? So for example, just to start inspiring you, are people complaining about things going on in the team to other people, not talking directly to people, for example? Are people confused about their roles? Are tasks not being completed and not being completed on deadline? These are just a few of the examples of the kinds of things that I hear about in organizations. So take a moment. I'd like to now hear, let's start with people sharing on chat just so we can get to hear from more people. Give a headline in the chat on some of the pain points or challenges you are seeing in organizations and workplaces that you're familiar with. Feel unheard, focus on the situation, not the person, lack of inspiration, difficulty managing, conflict. Yeah, gossiping takes different forms. People don't feel comfortable speaking directly to each other. Lack of autonomy. Yeah. Lack of psychological safety. Management styles based on competition. Okay. Hurt feelings, no way to grieve. Oh, I love this one. Missing celebration and the energy it gives. One element I often work with teams on is how to integrate gratitude into the workplace. As Marshall said, you know, gratitude is life fuel, and it's just really powerful to bring into organizations. Yeah, so similar to that lack of recognition, unmet needs. Okay, so I think everyone is seeing and agreeing that there's plenty of opportunities for us to transform people's lives and organizations through bringing nonviolent communication in. Now, what I want you to start thinking about is the pain points in an organization, and then particular NVC skills that can offer a solution or a remedy or relief around those pain points. Some of you, I think, in the chat started to already kind of make that connection because I saw some things like need to express feelings or need to make clear requests. So people are already beginning to make that connection. I want to start making it very, very specifically. And here's why. When you talk to a potential client, when we talk about those, quote, sales calls, one of the key elements is I always ask my potential client, what are you happy about? I like to start out there. What's working for you and your team? And then what would you like to see different? Once they start telling me what they want to see different or their pain points, of course, I want to recap that or most people say in NBC world, reflect or mirror it, but I like to say recap. I like to recap that so they know that they've been heard, so I know that I heard them. And I want to start already listening for what kind of interventions, what kind of solutions I'm going to be able to offer them based on nonviolent communication. This is really important because once I've heard about their pain points, I want to be able to start sharing with them how I think I can offer them a solution. And to give them and start talking about the NVC model, especially if they're not familiar with it already. So I just want that, like that, to have the level of integration with the model and be thinking this way. It's very, very important. It's also important with design. I already start thinking about design in these meetings when I have a potential client. Once I start hearing about what their needs are, what their objectives are for the training, what they want to see come out of it. By the way, another question I love to ask in these calls is, where would you like to see your team 6 months from now? Where would you like to see your team 12 months from now? So when they tell me, wow, you know, one of the problems, people aren't speaking openly with each other. They're in effect talking, quote, behind each other's backs. So, you know, what they really want is what the Welsh, the former head of GE, talked about courage and candor in the workplace. And by the way, I have an article that I usually share, excerpts from an article about why courage and candor, or openness, transparency in the workplace is so important. I think we all get that on an intrinsic level. Basically, if key information is not being shared, that's going to really impact a project, impacts trust, impacts morale. So how do we address this? So here's what I do. Here's how I get my brain around this. I hear the pain point. Then I pause. Why are people doing this? So let's sit with this for a second. If people in an organization are not talking openly with each other, if they're talking, quote, behind each other's backs, if they're having conversations at the water cooler rather than in a meeting, why? They're meeting some need by doing that. We know that as NVC trainers or giraffes, NVC practitioners. People only do something because they're attempting to meet a need. So why do you think on a needs level and a strategy level, why are they avoiding talking directly to someone? Let's hear from one or two people. Why do you think people aren't talking directly to each other? Just one example of one thing that happens in a workplace.
Shared reality. I think people chat because they want some reassurance that they're sharing the same perspective.
Yeah, and I love this. And they're probably also wanting support.
Yes.
And they're not sure how to get it, wanting to be heard, wanting reassurance. And if they feel like they can't get it from the person directly or anywhere else in the organization, they're going to find some other way to meet that need. So thank you. That really opens my heart because I know all of us are like, oh, this person's being passive aggressive. Well, they're attempting to meet a need. Thank you for that.
What I hear a lot from people is that they have a message that they'd like to deliver to somebody, but they have no hope whatsoever being able to deliver that message in a way that it can be received. Why? Because it's a judgment. So that implies a lack of having a practice at looking in within, discovering a need. And then, of course, on top of that, having a language and a skill to then deliver the message that encompasses, you know, the true NVC style experience of what's happening. All they see is, I have this judgment and there's no way I can tell them.
Yeah, thank you. So what you're speaking to is starting to speak to how I would in the conversation with a potential client start talking about a solution. So if my client is saying, I say, what are your challenges right now? What's getting in the way of your team working as effectively as you like? And they tell me there's something like this going on. I will say, okay, I'm going to take a guess here. Tell me if this at all resonates for you and your team. I'm going to take a guess that for some reason, people are lacking confidence in speaking directly to each other. And then I'll ask the client, does that match your experience in any way? And usually they'll say, yeah, I guess that's true. And then I say, okay, I'm just curious, do you have an idea what might be getting in the way of that or people speaking up? That's helpful for me for design too and getting them to think about their pain point more, which is important. But then I can start speaking about the NVC model. And then I can say, okay, my guess is people are simply lacking the skills. And it's okay. None of us learn this usually in the workplace. I didn't learn it in school. I have a PhD. No one taught me. And my PhD is in the area of communication and rhetoric. And no one taught me how to do this. We didn't learn it in our families. So people are lacking skills in how to talk honestly with connection. And especially when there's power differentials. this is something, again, I'm sure it's going to come up throughout the course. It's always on my radar talking to organizations. There's power differentials, obviously, when someone reports to a manager. If there's a matrix system, matrix meaning where it's like a horizontal structure and different teams are working together to get a project done, even though it's horizontal, they're depending on another team to approve the budget or do the coding. There's some power going on there that's very important to pay attention to. But my point is, it's especially challenging to speak up when there's power differentials. Let's be real. So are people not sharing things with their supervisors? That's important to know, because there's probably something in how the supervisors are managing their team that's further leading to a lack of confidence in their report speaking to them. Are different teams in a matrix not speaking to each other? What's going on there? So let's be aware of the power differentials. And how do we empower and enable people to have the skills? So again, speaking to a potential client, I'll say, through this training program, we're going to give people a mindset, which, by the way, that's how I talk about the consciousness. Again, we're going to talk much more about language in next week's class. I've gone through personally, and I'm going to encourage all of you to do this after next week's class and look at all the, quote, NVC jargon, to use a jackal term for it, or NVC language, every practice has its technology. Looking at NVC technology, as I call it, and looking at all the words that we use and how can we make that more connecting for people in the workplace. So one of those that I do is, recapping rather than reflecting, for example. Rather than talking about consciousness, if you're comfortable using the word consciousness, go for it. I got to tell you, working in the New York City area, I'd rather use the word mindset. We're going to bring through this training program a different mindset around communication, a different mindset around openness and trust. We're going to develop that through this training program. And we're going to give people practical skills. The reason people are not speaking up, in my experience, is they don't know how to do it in a way where they're confident that they're going to be able to protect their connection with the person that they're sharing the information with, especially if that person is their boss. So we're going to give practical skills so that people feel far more confident and comfortable in speaking up and checking how the other person is hearing the information. And these skills are going to make it easier for people to hear what the other person's sharing. How does that sound to you? I'm always checking in with my potential clients because I want to see how it sounds to them. So there's connection. You say, wow, that sounds great. How are you going to do that? And then I can start talking about the model. But the point is, because you're going to be working on this, it's going to be one of your challenges for next week. We'll be posting a document with three columns. The first column is going to be, I'm going to ask you to brainstorm pain points. You've already started to do that today in the class. What are some pain points that are familiar to you in an organization that you're working in, both either as an employee or as a consultant? Brainstorm that first. Just get them all out. That's cathartic. I think I gave space for at least 10 on this worksheet. So the first column, I encourage you to print it out so you can get hands-on, write things down. What are these pain points or challenges? The next column in this exercise is going to be how you would describe this in business terms. I'm going to talk about how to research that more if you're not familiar with business terms. But for example, if people aren't collaborating, the most common way I hear people talking about this in the business world today is my people are in silos, like a grain silo. They're in a silo. So the first column would be people aren't collaborating. What's the business term for this? They're in silos. The third column is going to be what NVC intervention can give them relief around this. Now, to get to that third column, maybe I could have had a fourth column in there, but I'm explaining how to do it now. In that third column, what I want you to get there is I want you to ask the question we're talking about today in the class. Why are people doing what they're doing? Because that's going to help you get to the NVC solution. If people are talking behind other people's back, why would they do that? Because they want support, they want relief, they want to be heard. And if that's the case and they're not able to go to the person they're talking to, what's going to help them with that? I want to hear an example from someone else in the class. Can someone else in the class raise your hand if you can give me a pain point? If you have the business way of talking about it, great. But regardless, I'd like to hear a pain point that you're familiar with in a business setting. And then what would be an NVC intervention or solution for that pain point? Let's hear from someone else in the class. Well, let me reframe this just to give everyone hope some ease. I think everyone on the call is pretty bought into the idea that nonviolent communication can be helpful for organizations. So another way to get at this is, why is NVC helpful for organizations? Well, it helps people talk to each other. In what kind of ways talking to each other is going to help? So for example, if another example I have is if a client tells me we really have a low morale, I mean, I find trust is so important in the workplace. If there's low morale, there's usually some trust issue going on. And I'll say, you know, my experience is when there's morale is this need for greater trust and we need people to be talking to each other more, more open communication. How does NVC support more open communication? So that's another way to get at this.
Yes, this actually came up in our group when we were discussing before, and it has to do with feedback, that the feedback being painful, I'm not leading to the learning, and people dreading, oh, it's time for my annual review or whatever. So lack of frequency of, you know, getting a consistent kind of feedback where people can self-correct and learn. So, you know, NVC offers this opportunity for giving and receiving feedback that's based on clear observations, needs met and unmet, and then looking at, okay, what would we like to do differently to make it work better?
So
very clear NVC strategies for addressing this feedback issue.
Absolutely. So I love how you describe this. You know, in this training program, we're going to give people a basic toolkit that they can use over and over again in different applications that's going to help them give effective feedback and help them receive feedback more effectively. And we're going to do this by teaching them how to give a really clear observation that's really clean and free of any judgment or blame so people can hear it easier. Then we're going to work on how it's impacting them, why it matters. By the way, in a business setting, I often talk about needs is what's driving the situation. That's the need. Yeah. And then what requests they can make that are really powerful requests. So I love this as an example, and it comes up a lot. By the way, I teach a course twice a year at Cornell University, a two-day program called Four Steps to Effective Feedback. And we decided on that topic because Cornell told me, this is the biggest problem we have here. People always are talking about how they're getting feedback. They're afraid to give feedback. And we fill up that course twice a year. So it's a big issue in organizations. I think I want to maybe have mindfulness of what I mentioned about particular organizations and what their challenges are. On the other hand, they're so universal. I hope if anyone's connected with Cornell in the program, isn't like, oh my God, she gave away some secret about Cornell. I think it's pretty endemic. Thank you for that example. I just want to check, are there any questions right now? And I know you haven't seen the exercise yet. I've described it to you. Are there any questions about what I'm going to be asking you to do with this invitation for next week's class? And again, it's thinking about work challenges. If you know the name, and by the way, some people who registered for the early registration got a short list to get you started thinking about workplace terminology. If you didn't get that list and you want to add to it, because at the end of the list, I invite you, what are the terms you want to add to the list? Just start Googling things like key management terms. If you're not familiar with workplace terms, I encourage you to do that anyway. There's so much you can learn online right now. So just Google key business terms, key management terms. You're going to start finding things like silos and matrix and things, you know, like reports. I mean, some of these words you probably know already. So you can start learning this kind of vocabulary. So that will go in the second column if you have it. I hope this is clear. The reason I have that second column there is as soon as possible when you're talking to a business client, I want you to start using their language because that's empathic. That gives them a sense, oh, this person gets me. They know the business world. They're feeling my pain. So it's really empathic and connecting to start using their language. So that's what that second column is about. Third column, well, I think this is pretty clear. We need to offer them a solution. And we do have a solution, which is so exciting. Yay, we're going to offer them a solution. And often there's more than one. So, you know, again, with powerful feedback, observation is important. Connection requests are important. If people talk to me about tasks not being done, boy, recapping, we get so much mileage out of recapping. So just brainstorm in that third column. What are all the different NVC skills that you imagine are going to help solve this challenge? And again, the way you're going to get there is by thinking about why are these people doing what they're doing? What are their needs? And then how can we address that through an NVC solution? Any questions about this invitation that I'm going to ask you to work on for next week? This is so crucial. If this is the only thing you get from this 6 weeks, I'd even be happy with that. Because, you know, I've done this course in person. I did it most recently in Germany last year. And frankly, it was painful for me and a little surprising how many people found this challenging. And it's so crucial. In my opinion, I want you to be able to do it pretty quickly when you're on the phone with a client live. So I really encourage you to work on this for next class. And I am going to ask for examples because we're going to be moving in week three into doing role plays with potential clients. And I want this stuff at the top of your tongue. So when you're doing those role plays, it just rolls off. Yeah, I hear this is a situation. I get this is going on. Their language. Boom. How are we going to solve this with NVC or some solutions? It's making sense to everybody? Any questions about this? This is kind of like NVC at workplace boot camp. Although I'm kind of using a war metaphor, but okay, that's the first. There is a second invitation up there, which I also would love you to do. The first one is about what we started working on today. The next one's what we're going to be moving into next week. The second exercise includes a definition of elevator speech. If you're not familiar with elevator speech, what I mean by that. If you want more familiarity with elevator speech, again, Google. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff on YouTube with samples of an elevator speech. So what I want you to do is come up with your elevator speech to describe NVC to people in a workplace setting. And then as a challenge, I also want you to think about how you describe it to a teenager. What's your elevator speech for a teenager? What's your elevator speech for a six-year-old? What's your elevator speech for your parents? What's an elevator speech for a friend? I just want to, again, develop your flexibility in describing nonviolent communication in about one sentence in a way that's going to be connecting and make sense to whoever you're talking to about it. The other part of this exercise is how do you describe nonviolent communication? Many of you know, especially if you've been to my website, I prefer to call nonviolent communication collaborative communication. My company is called Work Collaboratively. For years, I ran a nonprofit that I founded in New York City called the Center for Collaborative Communication. How do you want to call nonviolent communication? Some people call it conscious communication. Some people call it effective communication or mindful communication. What fits for you that you feel comfortable with and that you think is going to connect with your audience? So this second exercise is going to ask, how do you want to call NVC? I'm not attached personally to calling it nonviolent communication. There's needs met by keeping that name. And by the way, I just want you to know, because it's very important to me to honor other trainers, especially certified trainers. As some of you know, I'm a big advocate of getting certified and supporting this international movement. For me, just what certification is about, among other things. And also, I like to honor Marshall Rosenberg. So even though I call it collaborative communication, people do know by the end of my training that this is nonviolent communication. I just find it easier getting in the door calling it something else. So what do you want to call it? Maybe you want to call it nonviolent communication. That's fine. Part of this exercise is to think about it because, again, we're going to start moving into marketing. You're talking to your client. What do you want to call it? And what's your elevator speech? Those are the two invitations to work on for next week. What I'd like to hear now, and I'd like to see it in the chat, just some quick feedback from me. How are you feeling right now thinking about our class today? By the way, if you're feeling sad or frustrated, I'm perfectly open to hearing back feedback from me. So I just want to hold space for everyone's experience. Excited, community, cool, excited, enthused, energized. Happy to hear that. Grateful. Thank you. Curious. Slightly overwhelmed, optimistic. Appreciate that. Honesty. Anxiousness and excitement. Okay. Okay, not sure in the right place. If you're not sure you're in the right place, what are you wanting to take from the course? I hope we made clear that this course is really primarily focused on people who want to bring NVC into the workplace as trainers. So that's going to be my main focus. I want to value the integrity of that. But I'm going to do my best. I have a plan for the 6 weeks, but you know, this is an NVC training. So my main goal is addressing everyone's needs the best I can. So if you have some objective and you're concerned based on what I've covered today that it might be missed or you're, quote, on the wrong plane, let me know what you're interested in and I will do my best to see how I can integrate that within the objectives already set for this program. So thank you, everyone. Really enjoyed hearing what people shared today. And I look forward to seeing you all on the wall and excited about next week.